We are with Larry Nagengast, updating what's going on with Odyssey Charter School, which is once again under formal review. Larry, we appreciate you taking time to catch us up on what's going on this story.
Glad to be here. One more piece of the Charter Odyssey.
Well, based on this week's first Charter School Accountability Committee meeting, do we have a clearer picture of what the state is specifically reviewing with Odyssey this time around?
Well, yeah, we do have a clearer picture of what the state wants to see, but more importantly, I think we've got a clearer indication that Odyssey's board of directors is actually taking steps this time around to correct the problems that had been disturbing the State Department of Education. Now, in terms of what the state is looking for, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this, but there were really three main concerns. Two of them are closely related: whether the board had met a January 1st deadline to revise its bylaws and some of its nominating procedures, and whether the board had been reconstituted so people affiliated with that Greek fraternal organization that founded the school no longer constituted a majority of the board. Now, the third concern, which Department of Education labeled as relating to the effectiveness of the board, dealt with insensitive remarks made by board members about an African-American woman being a token nominee for an opening on the board, and about solving a traffic problem on the school's campus by building a wall to separate Odyssey from Academia Antonio Alonso, which is the largely Latino dual-language school that rents a classroom building on Odyssey's campus.
What was Odyssey's response to the committee this week to what the committee is looking for?
The response, which was delivered primarily by Alisa Moen, who is a new member of the Odyssey board, was clear and quite direct. The bylaws revisions and the new nomination procedures were approved by the board in December, before the deadline, even if the state didn't receive all of the documentation in time. The board reorganization took a little bit longer. The controversy over the insensitive remarks led to the resignation of five board members in mid-February, and now the board has 11 seats, five of them for members appointed by the Greek organizations and six by a separate nominating committee. Right now, there are three members who are affiliated with the Greek organizations and five who are not, plus three openings that still have to be filled. With regard to the allegation relating to the board's effectiveness, Moen made the point that this is, quote, a new board, a different board, and she outlined how the board members will soon be receiving training in governance and on diversity and inclusion topics. I've been to a couple of earlier hearings relating to Odyssey, and there was one significant difference here. In the past, the Odyssey officials would suggest alternatives to the state's proposals, and they often seemed to hedge on what they intended to do to meet the state's requirements. And this time, the language from Odyssey was direct, and it was clear, and it seems that they're really going to do precisely what the state wants them to do now.
And it seemed that a change to the board was clearly one of those things that was needed to satisfy the state. But does this significant amount of change, made so quickly and under duress perhaps a bit, make things more difficult for Odyssey to instill confidence that it is getting things right? And what assurances are they offering that the school can stay on course if they get through this process?
Well, yeah. Make no mistake about it, there are some real challenges here. And the biggest one is getting the board up to speed. Now, we've got an 11-member board, so let's look at what we have. And we've got five new members, a new president, and three seats left to fill. So I can do a football analogy here, I hope. This is like having a new starting quarterback and all rookies on the offensive line and no wide receivers under contract. So it's going to take some time for this group to learn new procedures, the equivalent of a football playbook, and then figure out how to work together like a football team does in its preseason. In other words, there's a lot of hard work involved, and we shouldn't really expect immediate results. There's people at the CSAC meeting the other day where, we're talking about it's not going to take 3 months. It's not going to get done in 6 months. It could very well take longer than that. That being said, I've been told that there's plenty of talent among the new board members, and there's a definite awareness that they're going to have to do plenty of outreach to the faculty, to the staff, to the parents, to the community at large. There's talk about bringing the various components of the school community into this planned diversity and inclusiveness training, not to mention plans for town hall meetings and perhaps even some sort of what was one person dubbed a school council that might have parent representatives from parents from each grade and perhaps some students from the middle school and high school level so they can get some leadership exposure as well. I mean, none of these things that they're talking about in terms of what they might do is cast in stone yet, but the intentions here, the ideas that they're expressing are certainly good.
The remarks about Academia Antonio Alonso made by Odyssey Leadership seem to have been a flashpoint for this second review. Even with the various board resignations, it still seems to be a festering issue. What is the plan to address the relationship between these two schools going forward?
The topic was discussed briefly at Monday's meeting, but not in great detail. You can't say with any great certainty what's going to happen here. But let's note, the people who made the insensitive remarks are no longer on the board. And much of the Odyssey community, the faculty, the parents, the students, others, realize that they have quite a bit in common with Academia. These are both dual language schools. They both have racially diverse enrollments, and there are probably any number of other similarities as well. As far as the specifics go, Odyssey's board has created a diversity and inclusion committee, and it was stated that the members of that committee are apparently going to be the ones that will take the lead in trying to resolve the issues with Academia. In addition, the Delaware Charter Schools Network, which is an advocacy group for charters, and virtually all the charters in the state belong to that, is working to develop a productive dialogue between the leaders of the two schools. So there are a lot of things going on here. It's going to take a little bit of time for it all to fall into place. But the intentions here again are good and seem to be pointed in the right direction.
The state and Academia Antonio Alonso are not the only constituencies Odyssey needs to mend fences and build trust with. Does the new leadership seem to understand the challenges it faces more broadly with its reputation right now?
Yes. The leaders, the people on the board, they realize that they've got a lot of work to do and that it involves dealing with constituencies that don't necessarily have the same interests. First of all, you've got the teachers. And Odyssey is one of only two charter schools in the state where teachers have voted to have union representation. And the reason that the teachers voted for this union representative, or a primary reason for it anyway, was that there was some dissatisfaction with the board of directors and with the communication between teachers and the board. So that's kind of an ongoing issue, and the new board has to deal with that. Next, look at parents, and maybe more importantly, prospective parents. It takes strong leadership to run charter schools. As we've spoken about many times before, their funding tends to be slightly less than traditional public schools, and they've got to rent or build facilities, and they don't have direct taxpayer support for that. So the boards have to run a tight ship. They have to communicate well, and they have to be responsive to parents. Now, if they fail in any of these areas, the parents can just take their kids and put them in another school and next year back to their old feeder pattern or into another charter. And if there are issues with the school that hurts the public perception, that means that prospective students are less likely to enroll. If you don't meet your enrollment targets, you can be forced out of business. As we know, Delaware has seen more than one charter school closure per year on average over the last 7 years, and it's mostly been because of management issues. Now, I'm not going to suggest here in any way that Odyssey is in danger of closing. It looks like the new board is pointed in the right direction. But I'm also saying that this board is aware of the consequences if it fails to live up to its responsibilities.
So what can we look for next? This process is expected to wrap up by the end of April. What's next in the process and on Odyssey's to-do list?
Okay. Well, there's still some unfinished business related to Odyssey's probation, which runs technically until the 30th of June. We haven't heard the last of the discussion about whether Odyssey has resolved all of the outstanding issues relating to the audit that was conducted last year. The school still has to recover some $93,000 that it improperly spent a couple of years ago. And there's more paperwork that has to be exchanged to close out the topics that were discussed at the meeting on Monday. This entire formal review process still has to run its course. There are going to be two public hearings. There's going to be a public comment period. There are going to be reports from CSAC, and all this happens before Secretary of Education Susan Bunting announces her decision on April 23rd. As for the school itself, and I've mentioned some of this already, they've got to do lots of training for the board and its staff. They need better communication between the board and its various constituencies, and they've got to develop this relationship of mutual trust with Academia Antonio Alonso. Now, I talked with Alisa Moen this week, a couple of days after Monday's meeting, and you know, these are her words. It's not an official board position, but I think they're a good way to close this piece here. Here's what she said. The new board has not had much time to work together, but we are smart, professional, and civil. Will everybody be happy? Will we always succeed? No, but everyone will be heard.
Larry Nangas, as always, we appreciate the reporting. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.